This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Just to go back to a text coming in for Dublin Marge, who says the argument for Michael Jordan is 6 championships. Well, then Michael Jordan, in your mind, gets trumped by Bill Russell, who has 11. So there you go. So Michael Jordan isn't even your pick if you're counting championships, as the X marks the spot of who is the greatest basketball player of all time. To me, I'm not using if they didn't win a title, as many titles as everyone, as the standard bearer for a conversation of pure basketball excellence. I don't think that makes any sense.
It could be a starting point as long as you accept the fact that Bruce Bowen can't be on the list because he's won a ton of rings.
What about Robert Horry, right?
Yeah. I mean, Steve Kerr couldn't be on the list by any rational measuring.
Greatest basketball player of all time.
The reason why Bill Russell gets to be argued about is because he not only defined a pivotal era in the history of the game, he is, and I think it's fair to say, to this day, he is quite possibly the greatest defensive player the game has ever seen.
Maybe the counter argument is he was playing against a handful of truly great players who were his equals, and he was also playing against guys who were butchers and off duty, you know, whatever they were. When you know he was playing a league that was not truly excellent up and down the way that it is today.
Well, the league is not truly excellent up and down now either. I mean, he played at a time when the best player in every team was essentially the center, and he dominated quite possibly the most dominant force in the history of the game, and Wilt Chamberlain.
Very impressive.
So
I wonder if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, had we plucked him from now and put him in the past, if he isn't regarded as one of the 10 greatest players of that era. Full stop. You know, I mean, that's the difference.
Maybe
who he was playing against and who just Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is.
But you don't know what didn't happen. You know what did happen. And that's why I don't ever look at this as who's the best player of all time. I like the players of eras. Who was the guy who defined an era? And the league's now been operating for almost 80 years, and you've got 6 guys. That's plenty of praise for anybody.
But there were 8 teams, right? I mean, so he's playing like 8 teams.
Okay, but he played every team that there was available to him.
And he played every night. God bless him.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that, too. I mean, it's I'm not making an argument that he is clearly better than LeBron James. I'm saying that the argument can't be settled.
We began today talking about the fact that the 49ers are in a moment in time. And that moment in time probably starts to close a little bit in terms of winning a championship just based on the reality of career ticking clocks. Like, do you imagine the 49ers will be closer to winning a championship with or without Trent Williams? If you want to say it's with, then he's 35 years old. You don't have much time remaining. George Kittle has been hurt in the past, and he's about to turn 30 in October. He's played 82 career games. Does he have 42 games left in his body? Does he have half of his career remaining as the future of his career still in front of him? That gives him two more full seasons, basically, for the 49ers, if you're agreeing. Yes. Christian McCaffrey, probably the oldest 27-year-old in football, just in terms of hits on his body. That would make Deebo Samuel the second oldest 27-year-old in football. And he's only been able to get through one full season to this point in his life. As I was talking about with Ray, and he says it's really only 1 year. You can't look further down the road than 1 year, and I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm just going to give out the timeline of 2 years. Like, to me, Kyle Shanahan and company have a legitimate 2-year window to be considered a Super Bowl favorite coming out of the NFC that it'd be hard to just dismiss with an argument. I think the argument for them to win a Super Bowl increases if Tom Brady can somehow come into the fold. We were talking about this. Brian Baldinger spoke about this on the morning show when he actually said he didn't think Tom Brady would be the right solution for the 49ers. Here's Brian Baldinger.
Well, you know, when it was just eight teams standing going into the divisional round, the oldest quarterback of the eight teams was Dak Prescott at 29. It's a young man's game, and I'm not here to knock Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. If they want to keep playing, keep playing. But I don't want to. I just don't want to build my team with a 40 or a 46-year-old quarterback. Like, I just don't. I don't care if it's a 1-year rental. Like, I want to sustain excellence. You know, they got Joe Montana, you know, at Notre Dame in 79. They got Steve Young. Like, they built it the right way with those teams, with a young quarterback. Like, built, whether it's Trey Lance or whether it's Brock Purdy or it's somebody else, like, give me a younger quarterback that I can, I know I'm going to have him for the next 5 years.
This, and I love Baldy, this isn't about the next 5 years. This isn't about anything other than winning a Super Bowl in 2023. And that's the way I believe they have to go to work. Is it narrow-minded? Is it narrow-focused? Yeah, maybe it is. But that, to me, is the only level of focus that I think really applies to the 49ers' immediate future. It's win a Super Bowl and do it next year. And move heaven and earth and beg, borrow, steal, kill, whatever you need to do to get there. I think they need to do it. I think that this is the time to do it right here, right now. And he's talking about, you know, how do you sustain excellence? They're sustaining a level of excellence right now. The ask for Kyle Shanahan is about to be get to your fourth NFC title game in 5 years. Four NFC title games in 5 years is a standard of excellence that is hard to argue with. If all you understand is they didn't win a Super Bowl, therefore, they didn't do excellence. I'm sorry, that just is not how this works. That is pie in the sky, goofy level of fandom that only understands who breaks the finish line first. And only one team had a good year, and 31 other teams were failures. That is some serious black and white way to just look at everything. And I don't think the 49ers can look at it like that. Here they are. This is their moment. It is ahead of them. And whatever egos need to be put aside or control issues need to be put aside, I don't know if there's a team that would represent a better chance to win a Super Bowl than Tom Brady getting under center for 1 year with this team as it's currently constructed. Who would you trust to complete more 6 to 12 yard passes to a bevy of catch and run wide receivers, catch and run running backs, and exploiting tight end mismatches? That's literally what Tom Brady has done in his career better than any other quarterback that has ever played. And there's no evidence based on last year's season in Tampa, which we admitted was one-sided. I mean, it's easy to stop defenses when they become one-dimensional. Ask the Niners in the NFC title game. It was probably easier to defend the Brady pass when you knew it was coming about 733 times. You will not be asked to throw 733 passes with the 49ers. You can get that number down to about 550.
Oh, less than that.
Again, it's Tom Brady. Maybe you cut him loose a little bit. But, I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of dump-off passes in the flats to Christian McCaffrey, to Deebo Samuel, and Kyle Juszczyk. Again, he's getting 31. He's not getting any younger. It makes an awful lot of sense to think about it.
Oh, no, I think they're thinking about it. I don't think they haven't taken that off the table. Look, who's kicked more tires on more concepts in 6 years than Kyle Shanahan? You know, who's the guy who tried to fire and then brought back Jimmy Garoppolo and thrived with him? I mean, he's open-minded to a wider degree, I think, than almost any other coach, general manager in the game. I just, you know, where I stop is, if he didn't like him at 42, why would he like him that much more at 46? And that's a bridge I need to see him leap, because I don't think he'll do it.
Tony and Hayward, before we get to Peter King in just a little bit here. Hello, Tony.
Hey, you guys. Hey, I just want to say, by the way, before I comment on the game, on football, so you guys' show is so awesome. You have no idea how many of us look forward to 3 o'clock. It really is a great part of our day to listen to you guys. Anyway,
thank you.
Yeah, you know,
Ray hates
we just kind of maintain this excellence like you're talking about, and we just have to stay there right at the cusp and just let some luck go our way. You know, we're right there. I think we have a great stable of quarterbacks to work with. Just keep on going with this. You know, stick with Brock Purdy, I think.
I mean, look, here's the deal. If Brock Purdy really is the second coming of Tom Brady, if that's the guy who he really is about to be, then yeah. But I just don't think there is a guarantee there. The elbow now officially makes me a little nervous. And I think it's got to make a team that very much believed in him a little hesitant to just say, yeah, the entire roster hinges on Brock Purdy's sophomore year or a third year where all the lights in the building come on for Trey Lance magically, even though he hardly plays any football. Just magically happened. Maybe it can. Maybe it could. I wouldn't be comfortable taking that risk if I were Jed York, if I were Kyle Shanahan. I'd say it's time. It's time to win the Super Bowl. I don't care who needs to swallow any amount of pride or control or desire. And somebody says, Brady has no legs, please. You're not asking him to run. You're not. Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't asked to really run. Brock Purdy wasn't really asked to run. What he has is the fastest release time in football, basically history. And again, who guarantees more? That was an easy completion on 6 and 12 yard routes. That's what we're talking about. It's all underneath. Tom, you're not looking to throw the ball 45 yards downfield to a hopefully he's open Mike Evans. The entire offense takes place in a 20-yard box. The whole thing. That's all. That's all you need to do, Tom, is complete nothing but intermediate to short passes to an assembled roster of more catch-and-go talent than maybe any other team actually has. That, to me, would be an opportunity that I would look at the Raiders and just say, I don't care if you got more money for me. I'm going to go play for the 49ers. I would look at the Titans and I would say, it's a nice team. It's a team that I like. But I think you got a better chance of getting to a Super Bowl in the NFC if you're Tom Brady than you do going over to young stud quarterback central that is the AFC. Just worry about that should you actually reach the Super Bowl. So that's kind of the bet I'd be making if I were Brady, plus coming home. Plus, we all know, he's always wanted to sort of be a Niner in a weird way. if that's true.
Oh, this would be a weird way.
This would be a very weird way. But it'd be a weird way to go into next year knowing you got a football team this good with year seven of, we sure do hope it goes well from a quarterbacking standpoint. We got a lot of stuff to get into, obviously, with Peter King when he joins us here, including two very significant coaching hires, one directly affecting the San Francisco 49ers. D'Amico Ryan has a six-year deal to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. You would assume that based on their turnstile philosophy in coaching the last few years, he is guaranteed to have a little bit more time because patience need be applied to the Houston Texans to correct whatever the hell is wrong with them. And the Denver Broncos have officially traded a first-round pick and a second-round pick to the New Orleans Saints for the right to negotiate with Sean Payton and a second-round pick. So, all of a sudden, two head coach openings have been filled here in the NFL, leaving what's open now, right? What do we got? We got the Panthers? Oh, no, wait a minute.
Frank Reich.
Frank Reich was hired by the Panthers, even though we had David Tepper, who owns the Panthers, saying he's here to break up the old boy network.
Yep.
I'm here to break up the old boy network.
By hiring all the old boys he can find.
By hiring a white guy. That would be like saying, I'm here to serve spaghetti and serving chicken chow mein. It's not the same. No, it's not. It's
he tried to get away with this by pointing to the people on the hiring committee, of which there were two black women. And I think that's admirable, but that's not what people were talking about.
No, it's not what we're talking
about. You don't get to take credit for being diverse when you fire your black coach, who actually did very well with a very limited roster, and then hiring him and then replacing him with a white guy who's had jobs before.
And by the way, Steve Wilks is now going to get an interview with the 49ers, who have a defensive coordinator hire to make. Vic Fangio, to me, sounds like a really gosh darn good idea. And here's another great idea. Saying hello to Peter King on the Bud Light guest line. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. And obviously, before we get to today's news and forward thinking for the 49ers and what this offseason needs to look like, what the wish list could possibly be, I would like your autopsy on an NFC title game. I think, you know, we all know that the patient died on the operating table for the 49ers. At what point in time did you call it?
I mean, to think that Josh Johnson is going to be able to win a football game after not playing for 100 years was probably a little bit too much. I mean, good for Christian McCaffrey, he seemed to make it a game 20 minutes into it or so. And I mean, the amazing thing was, you know, midway through the second quarter, this was still a game somehow. But you just knew that the dam was going to break at some point if Brock Purdy couldn't go back in. And look, the most important single player in this game was Brock Purdy. How bizarre that sounds in the NFC Championship game. The guy who was picked last in the draft this year. You know, it's like you have a pickup game for kickball on the playground. You have 20 people to choose from, and the 20th person, 20th kid who gets picked ends up, you know, the most important player. How does that happen? I have no idea how it happens, but that's how it, what happened in this case. When he went out, it was over. I think the amazing thing is, right now, when you think about it, Shanahan/Lynch, you know, has been atop this football team for 6 years and provided quite a lot of compelling, fun, incredible moments. And they've done it with the weirdest quarterback situation of any team in the last 6 years, by far. It's not even close. That there's no team, I bet, in a six-year period that has had the number one quarterback hurt as often as this team has. And it's amazing when you think about it. First of all, that with the third string quarterback, they are in the championship game at all. Okay, that's number one. And number two, for 15 minutes after, they're, you know, the ace in the hole gets hurt, they're still in the game. It's kind of a tribute to the way the roster was built, but on the other hand, I would find a little fault with the 49ers for basically saying, is Josh Johnson the best we can do? I was thinking about it today, and I was thinking about in the last 6 weeks, what could they have done differently? I'll just ask this question. And I don't even know whether the timing on this really syncs up, but would you rather have come in that game, you know, at the time of desperation, Josh Johnson or Joshua Dobbs, who ended up playing decently for Tennessee after Ryan Tannehill went down? And look, I'm not, it almost certainly wouldn't have made the difference. But if I were the 49ers, I'd be asking myself, ourselves, was Josh Johnson the best we can do? And even if it was the best we could do, don't you think maybe we should have tried to, not only do a little better than him, if humanly possible to do, but also just to get another guy in there, you know, to even to have a chance to be on the roster down the stretch. But again, it probably all is futile once you lose Brock Purdy.
Given the nature of how the 49er quarterback position has gone over the last 4 to 6 years, have you heard from anybody, and I'm not asking you for your opinion, but have you heard from anybody a credible explanation other than sheer bad luck as to why it seems to happen here more places than other?
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo, for whatever reason, is injury prone. And so that's a lot of it, all right? And look, Brock Purdy, I don't think, and we'd have to go back and check, but this is a guy who played 48 games in 4 years in the Big 12. So I don't think he was hurt much, if at all, in college football. And he comes into the NFL and gets a fairly fluky injury. So I don't, Ray, I mean, you hate to blame it all on coincidence, and I'm not sure that it should all be blamed on coincidence, but I don't know what you do other than, you know, at least, like, if I were the 49ers right now, no matter what happens early in this offseason, whatever, I think you just have to shake hands with Jimmy Garoppolo and wish him the best. It's time to go. It's time to move on. Everybody knows that. And you do one of two things going forward. You either say, send Trey Lance and Brock Purdy into training camp. May the best quarterback win, even though you probably think that it's going to be Brock Purdy. Or you invite Tom Brady into the party, and or someone else, whoever that other person is. The only thing is, I would not invite anybody. I would not try to sign anybody who had a significant injury history before this year, because it's just, you know, seen that movie too many times already.
Peter King here on Damon and Ratto. Well, again, you brought up Tom Brady before we even had the chance to ask you about it, because he's someone that Ray and I have been talking about since we came on the air today at 3 o'clock. Brady, at the age of 45, throwing 733 passes, doesn't sound nearly as optimal to me as Brady at the age of 46, throwing about 550 next year for the 49ers. That would be 34 passes a game if he were used like Brock Purdy. And let's be completely honest, he's Tom Brady. And at some point, age obviously catches up with him, but I don't know if it has yet. And he's asked to play a much different game in San Francisco than he was in Tampa, where the entire offense takes place in a 20-yard box. Who's better to hit Christian McCaffrey, Debo, and Kittle on short to intermediate routes than the guy who probably threw to catch and one run wide receivers, backfield running backs, and and tight ends than Tom Brady. To me, there is no perfect. Find me a better solution than a motivated to be home Tom Brady with finally a year away from his personal issues. Like, it makes a lot of sense to me. And it's the one thing that I think, Peter, gives the 49ers the best chance to be hosting the NFC title game next year. And that should be the target they're shooting at.
Yeah, I don't know whether, you know, whether they would. I don't know how Brady is going to play. At some point, he's a 46-year-old guy. Yes, supremely motivated, everything like that. If I were the 49ers, that's probably what I'd do. And the reason why my gut feeling is that they're at least going to look into it is I think there were some inside the organization in 2020 who had buyer's remorse for not going hard after him when he went to Tampa. And that's even before he won the Super Bowl there. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense for them to look into Tom Brady. I don't think they would be looking at Brady as any sort of, to me, he's almost a one-year scotch tape job. You know, and plus, the reason why I think that it does make a lot of sense for San Francisco is that whoever your quarterback is going to be going forward, whether it's Trey Lance, whether it's Brock Purdy, how fantastic would it be if they had a mentor slash tutor on the roster like Tom Brady? Who they can, there wouldn't be a better person to learn from. There wouldn't be a better person for them to be around for a while. Hey, look, you know, you hear all sorts of stuff. You hear Aaron Dobbs say he never once saw Aaron Rodgers outside the building. You know, that Tom Brady is going to be the kind of guy. And I'm not saying he's going to invite, you know, Brock Purdy and Trey Lance over for dinner every night. I don't mean that, but I do think that Brady would be the guy who would leave. Let's say he only, you know, stayed there for 10 months, okay? He would leave that place in significantly better shape than when he arrived.
Could you imagine for a second the off-season workout program at Sarah High School? I mean, who doesn't report for that? You might even have the entire defense show up for that one.
Yeah, I mean, what would happen for sure is, and look, I think just my gut feeling, if Brady does decide to come back, he will be as dedicated and interested and motivated to, you know, work with Tom House and Adam Dato, the guys he's been working with in the off season. He'd work with them a lot. He would make absolutely unequivocally, he'd be positive to have a great chemistry and a great understanding of who Debo Samuel is before they ever step foot in training camp. But look, I mean, we can talk about this all we want. They clearly are, if they were smart, would bring in a veteran who has been durable to add to the quarterback mix here because, and look, one of the other reasons that that I think Brady would be good is that he would understand because he watches football. He's preparing for life after football, so I'm positive he's watched every game, either all or most of the game that Brock Purdy has played. He knows that Brock Purdy can do this. And so if at some point they're 3-5, and they're really struggling, and Shanahan says, hey, Tom, I'm putting Purdy in, no offense, or whatever he does, Brady will be ticked off, but he'll understand because he will know that Brock Purdy is a good player. And so I can't see much of a downside. But, you know, the one other thing that we aren't even thinking of yet is this would have to be a situation where Brady truly wants to play. We don't know that yet. And then there would be the situation of his family, his children, either lived in New York or Florida. You know, they'd have been in school there. So there's that issue. And I think Brady is a lot more cognizant of that than maybe he has been at times in his past. So we'll see how all that plays out.
In your conversations with Kyle Shanahan over the years, has he ever given you a definitive reason why he wasn't interested in Brady back in the day, and what would have changed if suddenly he were interested in him now?
I don't think that I think they felt that they were going to be okay at quarterback in 2020. You know, and now, what has changed now, 3 years later? They're not okay at quarterback. They got one guy who's going to be out for 6 months. They got another guy who they have no idea if he's any good because they haven't seen it yet. And they have a defense that's ready to win absolutely right now. That's what's changed. You know, the change is the perceived bigger need at quarterback than there was in March of 2020. And just the fact that this is a just add quarterback team and you can win now.
Peter King on the Bud Light guest line. Who is sitting in a better position right now in your own mind? Sean Payton with the task to deconstruct what is wrong with the Denver Broncos, or D'Amico Ryan to construct some actual success in Houston?
I think Sean Payton's in a better situation. But look, I wouldn't have touched the Houston job. I don't know that I really trust Cal McNair or Nick Caserio, honestly. I don't know if I trust what they said, because they were going to give Lovie Smith longer than a year the same way they were going to give David Culley longer than a year. They gave him each a year. And it just strikes me that, you know, they're obviously going to take a quarterback and figure out who's going to coach him. I don't know if it'll be Pep Hamilton or somebody else. But they're going to take a quarterback. How patient are they going to be? If they go 3-14 this year, and then they're lousy at midseason next year in the quarterback in 2024, and the quarterback is struggling, what assurance do you have that they're going to give D'Amico Ryans enough time to truly turn this around? They haven't given their coaches enough time to turn it around. So I guess I would look at it and say, first of all, I would be worried about the front office and ownership in Houston. In Denver, they've got a very good defense right now. They have good, not great, but good offensive weapons right now. They have a left tackle in Garrett Bowles. And I haven't watched film with Sean Payton of Russell Wilson. I don't know what he thinks. I do know that Russell Wilson openly inside the organization wanted Sean Payton and has been very open with the fact that I will be coached, I can be coached, and you can be tough on me. Because, look, Russell Wilson knows he's at the crossroads right now. So there's that advantage. And I think there's one other thing here. Sean Payton, maybe, I don't know how many coaches can come in there and tell Russell Wilson, look, you're not a privileged character anymore. All these privileges you had, the private office inside the building, the private people coming in, the whatever, the trainers and the workout people and the video crew, whoever there were. There's been all sorts of reports of how many people that Russell Wilson has had with him at home and on the road during the course of the year, Sean Payton is basically going to say, look, that's over. I guarantee it, but I'm almost positive that Sean Payton is going to say, listen, it's important for you to be one of 45.
Right, new sheriff in town.
You cannot be a potentate anymore. So I think Denver is the more advantageous job.
Turning to the defensive coordinator opening for Kyle Shanahan, how do you think they fill it?
I don't know. I don't have any idea. I would think that Steve Wilks is a very good candidate. He knows the division. Having been in Arizona, he knows the NFC well.
Fangio?
He's a highly respected coach. So I think he's got to get a good look.
What do you think of Vic Fangio? Because I keep on hearing conflicting reports out of Miami.
He'd be absolutely the best guy. I guess we'll know within 24 hours. Is he signed, sealed, and delivered to Miami? Or can Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch twist an arm? And, you know, I don't know the answer to that yet. But he clearly, far and away, would be the best guy to do this job.
Did you learn anything about either the Chiefs or the Eagles that you didn't know before the conference finals?
I was in Kansas City, and I knew going into that game that obviously Patrick Mahomes is as talented a quarterback in all ways. Throwing the ball, keeping plays alive, throwing on the run, doing everything, running. He's as talented a quarterback as I've ever seen. The one thing that the game convinced me on Sunday is his will is absolutely, there's not a player with in the NFL today or that I have seen who has the will that he does. And I wrote about it in my column. You know, you saw that when Jermaine Pratt was a free rusher going at Mahomes on Sunday in this game, Mahomes was running to his left. He was not going to be able to outrun Jermaine Pratt. And so he had to turn quickly and throw, and he threw a bullet into the gut of Mecole Hardman. And you could see Jermaine Pratt was diving for him just at that moment, and Patrick Mahomes came up gimpy on that play. And you could tell something significant happened to him on that play because he was limping badly, and luckily for Kansas City, it wasn't lucky that Mecole Hardman was laying on the field and was hurt at that moment. But it was lucky that they had a minute and a half so that Mahomes could gather himself. And he went to the sidelines just very briefly. And the longtime trainer and confidant of Andy Reid, Rick Burkholder, went up to him and said, hey, you okay? And Mahomes, as I say in my story on Monday, leave me alone, Mahomes hissed, because that's what it was. I'm not coming out of the game, get away from me, was basically what he was saying. And he willed his team to this win. So I knew about the talent. I knew everything. I knew what a great leader he was. I learned a lot more about his will in this game on Sunday.
He might be the most tooled up quarterback of all time. There's very little doubt about it. Peter, let's wrap with this. And we've got a couple minutes here. And I'm not asking for your final impression of the Super Bowl. We'll have another opportunity next week to get your real thumbnail sketch of your final thoughts on the Super Bowl. What are your opening thoughts on Chiefs-Eagles?
I just think that Philadelphia's depth going into the week. I mean, Kansas City, not only is the quarterback hurt, but so many of his receivers are hurt going into that game. I was outside the locker room for about a half hour waiting in between the celebration and everything, and I saw a totally joyless Juju Smith-Schuster limping, looking like he was Walter Brennan. Go on Wikipedia and look that up, kids. But he just looked like he could barely move. So, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy who, you know, is really trusted by this team. Is he going to be in good enough shape to play? Who's gonna be the receivers in this game for Mahomes? That's number one. But number two, as great as Chris Jones was, and I think Chris Jones this year, although I voted for Nick Bosa for defensive player of the year, I mean, Chris Jones, it was 100-98 or something. It was incredibly close, and Chris Jones was just great on Sunday. Will Chris Jones be able to be great going against the best offensive line in the NFL this year and perhaps in the last few years? They have totally shut out the opposing pass rush in the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. So now Frank Clark and Chris Jones have to do some damage in this game. Can they? We'll see. Nobody has done damage against the Eagles in a big game all year.
Peter, thank you very, very much. Appreciate your time as always.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Peter King on the Bud Light guest line. Damon and Ratto, one more segment before we wrap this bad boy up. We're going to spend a little time talking about the Warriors, what they did last night, what they need to do the next couple of nights coming up as well. Meanwhile, we're brought to you by the SF Sheriff Office. Go to sfsheriff.com. Apply today. And Damon and Ratto brought to you by calhope.org.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now, back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Again, we're brought to you by Zenni, the official eyewear. The 49ers shop, from over 3,000 styles at 80% off retail prices exclusively at Zenni.com. And remember, all of our guests, including both today, Michael Irvin and Peter King, appear on the Bud Light guest line. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Last night's Warriors game, certainly that first quarter, easy to enjoy. Klay Thompson knocking down some big shots, including a big dunk late, easy to enjoy.
Pass to Looney, floats it on the wing. One dribble, waiting. Now Thompson will take it with five to shoot. Gotta go. Draymond's got it. They don't see the clock. Draymond back to Klay, who goes baseline and dunked it.
Wow. Draymond was great last night. 7 points, 12 assists, 9 rebounds, and 2 steals. Curry, he not only finished with 38 points, 12 assists, 8 rebounds, and a block, he passed Wilt Chamberlain for most made field goals in franchise history.
Curry catches, pump fake, puts it on the deck, driving in, scoops the hoop, it's up and good, and another unassailable record goes to number 30 as he passes Wilt Chamberlain and becomes the all-time leader in field goals in Warriors history.
Not too shabby. Neither was Klay, dropping 28. He's getting consistent, Ray. A little bit more consistent than earlier. Some big buckets last night. That baseline fadeaway, which a huge bucket late in that game last night. The Warriors opened up an 18-point lead after the first quarter. They held on to win by 8 in Oklahoma City. And the Thunder aren't bad.
They're getting better. What was interesting to me was the Warriors were tied for 8th at the beginning of the night, and they're now in 5th.
It can happen that easily.
I mean, and they're a game out of 4th. So,
sounds like home court advantage to me, right?
Well, it's a good reminder that it's never time to panic before February. And it might not even be time to panic in February. It's if you believe your team at some point can figure out what it's supposed to do on a night-in, night-out basis. The first 50 games are a gibby.
Well, here we are looking at the final 35 games of the year. That takes us back to the win over Memphis, a win over Toronto, and now a win on the road at Oklahoma City that makes the Warriors 3-0 so far in their final 35 games remaining on the year. And it's officially time to stack some wins. You got 2 tough games on the back-to-back later this week at Minnesota tomorrow, at Denver on Thursday. Steve Kerr, get them road wins.
We've won 4 of our last 6 on the road. You know, you have to execute on the road down the stretch to win. You have to. You have no choice. And I just think that, you know, we're getting some key buckets at key times. Draymond made some brilliant plays down the stretch. Obviously, Steph and Klay made big shots. Jordan made a big shot late. Corner 3, I thought, was maybe the biggest shot of the game. And we got some stops. We got enough stops. So really, a really good effort from the guys.
More than the stops, Ray, because, you know, Oklahoma City did put up a buck 20 again last night. But whenever that game was about to slip from a 5-point game to a 3-point game or a 2-point game, somebody hit a big 3, like Klay or Poole or Curry. At every instance when the Warriors needed a bucket, they got that bucket, which is the difference probably in the game.
Yeah, and now we'll see who gets sat out tomorrow, because it's a back-to-back on the road, and the second game's in Denver, which I presume is one they'd want. So,
or do you say Minnesota is technically the more winnable game? Let's just push our chips in to the more winnable game and not white flag your trip to Denver, but say that is the more difficult task. Therefore, we're going to hedge our bets and go full bore in Minnesota and try to come back 2-1 on this 3-gamer.
Well, I think that depends on how Steve Kerr actually feels about this team's mini heater that they're on. If he thinks it's sustainable, maybe he does sit out more guys against Minnesota. If, you know, he could play it your way too, but I don't think he's going to go full bore both nights.
Steph Curry on the back-to-back.
I usually campaign to play every game, so that's the misconception about load management and how it goes. It's never the player that's usually saying, hey, I want to sit. So for all those people that are worried about that part of our league and all that, it's usually not the player that's going to the training staff and saying, hey, I don't have it tonight. It's usually the other way around, and there's a lot of science involved. So, yes, I will campaign to play, but we'll see how it goes.
By the way, One of the things that we're going to get into tomorrow as we set up Warriors in Minnesota, we're going to have Warriors live from 4 to 4:30 tomorrow. Big responsibility between you and I, Ray, to get that pregame show in. We're going to talk a little bit more about load management and what the NBA can do to address what everyone admits is like a growing issue. How do you get around it? It is not an easy fix. By the way, Draymond Green, who played great last night, man, he was in sync. Talked about how the team is officially starting to come together, figure it out.
I think it's definitely starting to look more like our brand of basketball. Guys are starting to figure out their spots and roles and rotations and different things. I think we're definitely starting to figure it out.
So, look, the Warriors have not been three games over 500 all gosh darn year. And we will see if they can get the three games over 500 with a win over the Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow. They are looking at their third streak of three or more wins this entire season right now. So, again, I'd like to see them keep a good thing going, win four in a row. I freaking dare you in Minnesota. I would push all my chips into beating the Timberwolves and sort of letting fate determine what happened in Denver. Because nobody likes going to Denver. Nobody.
No, nobody does like going to Denver, but if you decide to go all in and Minnesota's on a heater and then you've got nothing left for Denver, now you've lost the momentum you've been building. So, I mean, I we're probably just gas bagging anyway, but I think it's more about how they play, not absolutely what the result is. If they defend, they'll be all right, but they have to defend.
No gas bagging the Oklahoma City Thunder. I would like to buy a little stock in Josh Giddey's future. He looks pretty damn good for a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid out there. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has turned into, I think, everything he could have possibly hoped his career might look like at this point in Oklahoma City's competitive life cycle. He has accelerated their timeline a full season of development forward on his own merits. He's spectacular.
Well, they have a guy now who they can basically say, okay, you're the alpha male.
That's a piece.
Make the young guys better.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have nothing but young guys for a long time. They've got about 7,000 draft picks in the next 5 years. So I think they finally have found a tent pole around which they can erect a tent.
Muy, muy interesante. There is no doubt about that. Let me tell you what's coming up on the game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank right around the corner. It is Warriors Roundtable with our guy Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean. A full hour's of Warriors talk right around the corner. Ray and I will have a full hour on all the day's sports news tomorrow before we get into Warriors Live at 4:30 to get you out to Minnesota. And then 2 hours coming up on Thursday before we get into Warriors Live to get you out to Denver. In the meantime, thanks again to Peter King and Michael Irvin for today, for all the guys on that side of the glass. Damon here for Ray on this side of the glass saying thanks so much for tuning in. And please do remember the following, that sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.